Healthcare organizations spend over half of their finances on workforce, and many are realizing they need to change the care delivery model to be profitable, especially in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. Welcome to Modern Practice, the podcast for medical and clinical leaders facing the pressing issues in healthcare today. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva. And on this episode, we'll welcome back Kristen Hunt for a discussion on how we can optimize your clinical workforce and address variations and gaps in your care delivery models, particularly during this time of the pandemic. Kristen, tell us a little bit about your background and your role here at Vizient.
Hey, Tom. Thanks. I'm glad to be back here joining you today on this podcast. I oversee the clinical team insights. My background is a nurse practitioner, and so I'm able to bring that additional lens of really understanding the APP's role into this clinical workforce.
Thank you, Kristen. So let's get right to it. As organizations are reevaluating their care delivery models, what is the emerging care model that's been most successful for most organizations?
You know, I think the answer is easy. It's team-based care. And team-based care, we hear the buzz about that a lot, and it can mean actually a lot of different things, but really looking at more of a team culture. And I stress the word culture because I think that's very important as we're looking for possible solutions. Let's kind of think about this as far as when we're looking at advanced practice providers and their deployment. Over a decade ago, hospitals really started to hire additional APPs more to fill the gap on the inpatient side. We know that there was not a lot of forethought done in the planning process of this. And so as they were hiring them, they were deploying them very differently throughout the organizations. You had some that were really working to top of license, and then you had others that were essentially working as scribes. And so as we're looking forward to more of that team culture within the organizations, we really need to be looking at creating more of a flat environment and really keeping more of that psychological safety. Historically, we've had more of a hierarchy of a care delivery model. And I think that's what's really impeded some of our good outcomes that we could be having, because people haven't been feeling safe to really speak up and talk about possible harms. We've seen tons of really good things, actually, that have come from creating more of a team-based culture. And really, especially in the midst of this COVID-19, when organizations have had more of this flat environment and more of this team approach to care, we are seeing those organizations are actually thriving in this COVID-19 pandemic, because they're stepping up. They're seeing where can they best provide the most assistance to their patients and how can they work together as a team. So I just can't stress enough that really it's the team-based model that we really need to be looking at, and especially as organizations are trying to thrive more financially.
You know, Kristen, lots of times when we bring up the concept of team, we get pushed back by most of our members by saying we already do that. But let's dive down just a little bit what we mean by team.
As I'm thinking about what is team and how do you build more of a team culture within an organization, there's not a single pill that's going to be a cure and make this happen. This is very multifaceted. You've got lots of different moving components of it. But there's a few things that really Clinical Team Insights have identified as key successes to really implementing more of a team culture within the organization. The first thing I would like to talk about is really terminology. And you may think that's very trivial when we say terminology, but I'll tell you a little story about myself personally. So like I said, my background, I am a nurse practitioner. And I remember at one point, we had a partnership between the organization and the university medical center. And they were wanting to redeploy me to assist more on the university side versus the private organization. And I remember hearing my name brought up in a meeting and them stating that they were going to lease me to the university. And I completely understand the process. And yes, these kind of things occur. But thinking about terminology really matters. And I remember that. And that was 15 years ago. So obviously, it stuck with me, right? So we need to really, you know, focus on terminology. One other thing I'll say with terminology, too, is we've really gotten away from more of a mid-level discussion about referring to APPs as mid-level. And this can actually be very harmful. And people may not even realize this. When you look at your nurse practitioners and your physician assistants, a lot of them actually hold a doctorate degree. So they're actually at the top of their profession. And then yet you're referring to them as in the middle. So taking it another step and looking at our nurses, what does that mean to the nurses, especially when you're referring to nurse practitioners as a mid-level? It's really just setting a negative tone. So I'll get off my soapbox on terminology, because like I said, I do think that terminology is very, very important. There's a lot of other different things that we need to think about. And really, it's communication patterns and how are we communicating throughout the organization. And in looking at our medical staff and who's allowed to be part of medical staff and participate within the medical staff, and in really looking at more of an inclusive culture and the governance communities throughout the organization. And then, of course, the most touchy one is really compensation and looking at our incentive patterns on how we're going to drive that productivity.
So we'll go into some detail in reference to these different components, because I think that's important. But I think the elephant in the room is going to be the compensation and incentives, and I'd like to go into a little bit more deep dive with that. But can you kind of go into a little bit more detail than which one of these components you're talking about? Because there are five of them.
You know, the first thing I'll start here with communication, and why is communication so important? So let's look at our communication patterns within our organizations. I think we've made some significant improvements. Our prior data has actually showed that about only 61% of our organizations had a consistent communication pattern between their physicians and their advanced practice providers. We did make some significant growth where we saw in 2019 in our data that it has increased to 89%, but that's still 11% of our organizations that are not having that same communication channel. So you can really understand where that disconnect can happen if we do not have a consistent pattern throughout the organization.
Let's really discuss about the area of compensation. And I think a lot of it has to do with productivity or the conception that by engaging more of productivity, a part of the APPs, you're decreasing productivity of your physicians.
That's just not true. And so we need to think about, why are we incentivizing our providers to compete within each other? We know that we need to practice as teams. We know that we need to come at this as a team approach. Yet we are pitting our APPs and physicians against each other because you're incentivizing them over those work RVUs. So we've actually seen this in the data as well, is where the trend is actually going to more of a team approach, productivity metrics. We need to look at more of patient outcomes. Let's look at how we function as a team and in the overall productivity of the team by making sure that you've got the right person seeing the right patient at the right time. And how can we bring all of our skills together to really increase the overall productivity of the team? And so that would be definitely one thing that we need to be looking at. Another thing is, you know, when we talk about incentivizing our physicians and compensation for our APPs, look at our physicians. That we've got 37% of our physicians within our organizations that are still being incentivized to work with APPs. That's almost like a bribe. And what kind of taste does that leave in the APP's mind, and what kind of message is the organization sending about the importance of really collaboration and building more of that team environment?
So it's safe to say that from our data, our analytics, and what we've seen from the work that we do as Vizient, that we know for sure that it does not affect the productivity of the physicians. It actually improves productivity for the organization as a whole. It improves your outcomes, and actually even improves access to care. So it pretty much hits all your pillars by actually having your APPs work at top of their license.
Absolutely. So, you know, another perfect example is when we're looking at access and trying to get those new patients into your clinics. If you are waiting for an open slot for your physicians to see those new patients, your wait time for new patient appointments is going to be much more significant than if you would open those patient slots up for the advanced practice providers and allowing them to at least get the patient into the system, into the organization, and getting the workup started. That's going to be the key to really solving more of that access problem.
Yeah, I get it. So what changes need to happen to the medical staff?
You've got your APPs and your physicians working together as a team. Yet when you look and read your medical staff bylaws, many times organizations don't even recognize advanced practice providers as part of their medical staff. So where can this come in and be a little bit tricky, right? So I just did this exercise where I was actually reviewing an organization's medical staff bylaws. And what I was able to find was actually pretty shocking, and it really directly relates to the COVID-19 pandemic. And so when you're reading the medical staff bylaws, it actually states in here that the medical staff is responsible to respond in emergency situations such as COVID-19 pandemic. It also goes into state that allied health professionals are not essential members, and essentially they don't need to respond. So I can't imagine, especially in light of a pandemic and facing some of the challenges that we just faced, that there are still medical staff bylaws out there that state that they're not essential. They're just kind of if needed. Well, if they're not needed, then why are organizations spending salary lines on them, correct? And again, this all circles back even to really creating more of that inclusive culture. So if you're really wanting the APPs to stand up and take ownership, take call, and really be held accountable, they need to be included into that medical staff, and they need to be called out as a complete member and not being segregated against their peers.
So we talked about that. It hits all your pillars by having your APPs work at top of license, and then especially when dealing with governance committees. But it still comes back to compensation. And I believe that you have something that you're proposing.
They tell us that we're actually making some good progress, but we've got some more room to go. And really, when we're talking, I cannot stress the whole inclusive culture and all of these things that we're discussing here. When we're talking about governance structures, inclusion in medical staff, compensation models, all of these things that we're discussing here is really boiling back to more of that inclusive culture, which seems to be kind of the warm fuzzy sometimes, right? But it's much more than that. We know that this is a key to really the financial stability of our organizations. We can even relate it back to those organizations that are actually surviving the financial impacts of COVID-19 right now. If you look at their organizational structures, they've had an organizational structure for their advanced practice providers. They have a leadership structure. They've been included in the medical staff bylaws and, you know, as part of medical staff membership. These things have already been occurred. They're making sure that their compensation models is speaking to that leadership approach of really informing more of an inclusive culture.
You know, Kristen, if there's anything we learned during the pandemic, that leadership was very important. You need to have compassionate leadership. They need to be engaged, and communication, particularly from the top down, but also from the bottom up, is key to success. Thank you for joining us today. This ends the first part of our discussion. In the next podcast, we'll continue to look at how to maximize clinical workforce. And for our listeners, please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Leadership Medical Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And also, please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast on the latest in healthcare strategies. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.